Hello and welcome to Eyewitness Beauty, the podcast where we talk about the biggest stories in the beauty industry each week. I am Nick Axelrod Welk, joined by Annie Kriegbaum, Diamond herself. What's happening?
That's one thing about New York. They will never stop doing construction downtown, ever.
Nope.
Scaffolding comes down, scaffolding goes up across the street. It's just nonstop.
Sunrise, sunset.
It's crazy.
I'm here, by the way.
I know. You never tell me when you're in town, and it breaks my heart, and I'm just like, wow.
No, here's what it is. I had to come in for one meeting, or two meetings. One in New Jersey yesterday, and then one today in Manhattan. And then I immediately...
Was it with Bruce Springsteen? Did you meet with Bruce Springsteen?
No, it was with Jon Bon Jovi.
I knew it.
Yeah.
The only two people in New Jersey.
Yeah. No. So, do you know that Jon Bon Jovi's last name is like Bon Jovi?
Yeah.
Like it's an Italian, and he just... Mm-hmm. He anglicized it or whatever, anglified
it. I found that out because I saw like a headline that his son was dating Millie Bobby Brown and it said his name. And I was like, wait.
Yeah, it's like Tony. Oh, my gosh. Do you want to? I'm going to give you an idea for free, and I'm going to give all of our listeners an idea for free. Okay. I came up with a TV show idea.
Wait, but I get first dibs.
I came up with a TV show idea. Okay. It's called Michael Poppins, and he is Mary Poppins' gay nephew. What do you think?
Your ideas always, and I mean this, I think that you have a skill in character development in a way that many people do not. Okay. But your movie and show ideas completely lack any plot.
No, here's the plot. 30-year-old Michael Poppins has been, for the last, since he graduated college, he's been dining out on the fact that his aunt is Mary Poppins, right? Like, that's sort of his ticket, his meal ticket, so to speak. He is an actor, dancer in LA. He is just, like, boozing and cruising.
Is he an influencer?
And then he just runs out of money, and he has to get a job as a manny.
What year does this take place?
2024.
Okay.
He has to get a job as a manny for this like rich family in LA, and he does it sort of begrudgingly, and in the course of the show he sort of like he embraces his Poppins magic and like the Poppins side of him.
I love that. What's like the tone? Is it a comedy caretaker.
It's a comedy. It's sort of like,
I love that.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch meets the nanny, meets Mary Poppins. The problem is that I need to get Disney on board.
Well, I was going to say, I think this sounds like a Sam Levinson joint.
You think it does? Really? You think it's like depraved in some way?
In all ways.
It takes place in like some depressing white trash town.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I love it. No, it can't. I think the whole thing has to be like glam. Glam, 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 glam.
Yeah.
I think we're in we're in an era of
Michael
glam
Poppins.
Horse girl.
Michael Poppins. I had you at Michael Poppins, didn't I?
Yes, you had me wanting more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, so it's not about you. I'm literally flying out of the meeting on a helicopter. You know I love my Blade helicopter. And I haven't seen anybody.
Don't get in a helicopter, Nick.
I'm getting in a helicopter.
Nick?
It's 5 minutes door to door.
They're so fucking dangerous. I personally know someone who died in a helicopter crash in New York. Not to bring it there.
Hold on. You know someone who died in a helicopter crash, like a Blade helicopter?
It was a news copter. A news copter.
Okay, I don't know about that.
Nick, I just wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it. I don't think flying in helicopters has had good PR lately.
No, I agree, but
I wouldn't even get on a plane to LA if I were you.
5 minutes door to door.
Do they land like on top of your building? You have to drive.
No, it's 30th and 11th Avenue.
I don't like the sound of this.
Anyway, I feel like we have so much.
It's very WeWork of you, Nick. It's very what's that guy's
name? It's giving Adam Newman.
Yeah, it's giving Adam Newman. I knew someone that worked with him. God rest his soul. He's not dead, but he's dead to me. Just kidding. he said that like they went on a meeting one time where they were like driving out to the Hamptons for a meeting because what's his name? Adam Newman had to go to his house in the Hamptons for the weekend or whatever, but wanted to still have this meeting. So they had the meeting in the car, and then they had another car trailing them. And then once they were done with the meeting, like halfway to the Hamptons, he like kicked the guy out to get into the other car and drive back to the city.
And have another meeting?
No, he just like wasn't coming with him to his house in the Hamptons. Like he wanted to have a meeting with this guy in person, but was like, I'm not going to stay in New York. I have to get to Hampton. So just drive with me and we'll have another car follow us so that when we're done with the meeting, you can just get out on the side of the highway and like go back to New York.
Oh no.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. But also like, what were they meeting about? Like what was important? I was just in Korea. Thanks for all of nobody's recommendations, except I did go to that one store that you recommended, Annie. And they had a WeWork in Seoul, Korea.
I think I was just listening to, Pivot again, even because I went through a period.
Is that Kara Swisher?
Yes. And I cannot stand Scott Galloway. I went through a period where I was like, this guy is just the most, it was like during COVID and he was like, very like, I'm a rich white guy and like, think that like only my experience matters when it comes to like making macroeconomic like decisions. Anyway, they were talking that I think WeWork is not just like completely destitute as a business because the investors are too embarrassed to like let it die completely, even though
so they're trying to sort of keep it alive,
I guess. I don't know. I've been like a sponge. I've been absorbing all the like big startup drama lately from them.
I don't know. I think it's the level of Zoloft that I'm on, but I've just been pretty good about not taking much on these days. Okay, I just can't. Here are the stories that I do find interesting. Luann de Lesseps is dating Mary Kate Olsen's ex-husband, the Sarkozy guy.
You know what? Luann is chic.
She can pull. She's gorgeous.
She's fucking gorgeous.
She really is. She is. Yeah. No, she is stunning.
And she's interesting.
I wouldn't go that far.
She's led an interesting life.
Yes. I once shared an elevator with her and she did not seem like the energy was not good.
That's not fair, Nick. Oh, I'm getting so sick of people just talking shit because they had like one bad interaction with someone. Like, grow the fuck up, you.
Okay, I agree. I'll give you that. We need to talk about beauty because we have so much to talk about. So, Annie, you made national headlines last week, aka Emily Sundberg's Substack, because you noticed that Bella Hadid's new beauty brand starts with an apostrophe, and so you deduced or you inferred some sort of a strategy to like be at the top of any like website drop down menu.
What do you think? I mean, you've seen it. You've seen.
It looks, it is so tacky, and it will not, mark my words, it will not work.
Gold is tough.
It just looks like a tacky, old person came up with it. Not what I like want nor expect from Bella.
You know, Nick, are you familiar with Depop Bella? Like her horrible Depop outfits that define Gen Z?
Well, yeah, but it's sort of like, it's tongue in cheek Y2K, right? Or no?
Y2K, I don't, it's hard to even say that it was Y2K. It's just thrift store, like, bizarre.
So she's not, are we saying she doesn't, are we saying on this podcast that Bella Hadid does not have good style?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, she doesn't even, it doesn't even have to be good what she's creating for it to, like, be successful and for people to
support. I think it does.
I'm just using that as one example. I'm just saying, like, here's.
Oh, meaning like her Depop is successful and it's not even good clothes?
Her style has defined, like, a whole generation, like Gen Z, like, they look to Bella, and Bella's
still?
Whole thing is like she gets all of her stuff on Depop. Well, not lately, because she's been in a cocoon. She's cocooned herself and been out of the limelight. And she came out on the other side of Cowgirl. Cowgirl butterfly, Bella. I'm surprised there aren't more butterflies, because, like, butterfly is kind of her thing. Like, she's always, like, there's no butterflies with her brand. It's very interesting.
I mean, it's just like it's giving. Do you know the CEO of Coty, Sue Nabi? She before she became the CEO of Coty, came out with a line called, like, Orveda, which was, like, luxury skincare created by, like,
familiar.
An old school beauty person. Okay. And it's the same. It's like La Prairie vibes, you know what I mean? Where it's just like pearlescent, clunky primary packaging, but like this was like green and like moody, you know. It's giving.
Brands are still doing stuff like that, by the way.
I know. Augustinus Bader, Bader.
Yeah, Bader.
You like it's, yeah. You get like a. So much plastic and metal when you get anything from that brand.
One thing I did forget to mention last week, or maybe I found out too late, was that I believe Beyonce has completely self-funded the Sacred hair care brand, which I thought was an interesting tidbit.
That's interesting. Have you been seeing the reviews coming in?
No.
I've been watching some of the Sacred reviews. And it's, they seem generally like they're not, I haven't seen takedowns. I also haven't seen ones that are like, this has changed my life. They've been like, oh, these are nice.
I did actually see one, but to be fair, I think she went to like an event with Tina or Beyonce. So I would be kissing the ring and kissing the ass if I was.
Of course.
You know.
Hold on. We have, but in terms of really newsworthy things, guess who got the boot from Sephora? This is like this is the
I know who got the
end. This is the end. J.Lo Beauty finally was shown the door by Sephora. We've talked about on this podcast.
Is that less
before,
than a year?
3 years after launching with them.
Oh. Has it been 3 years since we talked about J.Lo Beauty on this podcast?
I mean, probably the first time where she was like, I use olive oil. You know, I just like use olive oil on my face. And everyone was like, I don't know about that. Like, it's not helpful. But we talked about it on this podcast when Selfless by Hyram got kicked out of Sephora.
Item Beauty
by Addison Rae. I've heard some rumblings about a certain female celebrity's clean skincare brand struggling for dear life. I've heard that it's not good, which all of which just means that it gets harder and harder to launch any kind of skincare brand, let alone a skincare brand founded by a celebrity, which in my line of work is scary.
It's tough.
That's sort of what I do. But
well, they
I
didn't
just
have
think
a
it,
you.
It,
they didn't have a you, did they?
Here's what I think. I think that it's not surprising, I think, to anyone that like J.Lo Beauty, I mean, anyone in the beauty industry, you know, of our generation is probably not surprised that it hasn't resonated with the Sephora customer. It was, again, kind of like Orveda or La Prairie, you know, like these old department store brands. It was like gold and big, gaudy packaging. And
it was actually, to me, it was giving more like infomercial, like Meaningful by Cindy Crawford.
Well, funny you should say that. Guess who was co-manufacturing it? Gunthy Redker.
Yeah.
Who actually does, I believe, does Meaningful Beauty and like all of those like tele.
Yeah, it was giving brands. Like QVC brand more than like La Prairie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but it was like a La Prairie price points. It was very expensive. But the headline that I saw about JLo Beauty and sort of the reason given for the exit was that it wasn't resonating with the growing Gen Z consumer at Sephora. But I just think, generally speaking, it probably wasn't resonating, period. I don't think it's resonating with like our generation. Like, I was not a millennial
it's
brand.
It's so funny how quickly it happens, because we knew about this effect of like at a certain point, like women after 35 are just like, they don't exist to marketers, brands. And it's so, now that I'm 34, it's so funny where I'm like, you hear about only about Gen Z. You only hear about Gen Z. And it's just like, are you, bad word, because we have so much money and Gen Z has no money.
Yeah. Well, I think that, I mean,
and
the success
of merit.
And we're
also,
merit.
Like, still really hot.
I think
we're online constantly.
You know, Merit Beauty, founded by Catherine Power, and was sort of like it seems to me kind of like a silent killer, where, like, it wasn't a huge deal when it launched, but every woman in my life is obsessed with every single one of those products. Like,
I've never tried.
Really? You should try it. I mean, to me, it feels like it was because she was speaking to people like her age, her, you know, life point, her lifestyle, and like people.
What's the major what's the big differentiator about them? Like, why would I not buy like RMS?
I mean, RMS is kind of crunchy, and I don't know, people don't want to put, like, you want to go to Sephora still. And I guess RMS is in Sephora now. But RMS.
What about like Westman Atelier?
I think Westman Atelier is probably a competitive brand to Merit, but it's also much more expensive, and probably a little bit more inaccessible as a brand.
This
concept.
This might be more of a me problem than a them problem, but to me, it always gave like Estee Lauder.
But like a modern, young, a cool Estee Lauder.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just like gold packaging to me is just like a.
They had Proenza Schooler design their makeup bag, like, so that says everything you need to. I know, but that, like, but to a certain person who doesn't live in the West Village, that's cool.
I don't know.
Also, given the alternatives, which were, you know, RMS, which is not. The packaging isn't cool. I she's a wacky, cool person, I guess. I know, problematic.
Oh,
in
I wouldn't
a lot
go that
of ways.
Far. Yeah.
I spent a weekend with her in Savannah, Georgia, and I thought I was amused, but I don't take what she says that seriously. She's like anti-sunscreen, which is sort of like anti-science. But anyway, JLo Beauty, RIP. Speaking of the CEO of Coty, I sent you this completely inexplicable thing that they launched, that Coty launched at Paris Fashion Week, called Infiniment Coty Paris. And the bio on Instagram is, I am the perfume that shows a new way. Imagined by Sue Nabi and Nicolas Vu, sublimated by Coty Know-How. A new chapter sublimated. In the history of perfume. They had a huge launch party. I think I saw this via KCD, the PR company, because they had done the event. And I say this with love for everyone involved. Infiniment Coty Paris heralds a new era in perfumery. Okay. Enriched by Cody's exceptional heritage, yet boldly envisioning the future, the brand blends art, science, and emotion in a collection of 14 creations. Creations of what? What is this? What are we talking about? What is Cody's heritage? And how does that translate to what is this thing? What is this? What is this? What are we talking about? How is the CEO of a publicly traded beauty conglomerate, one of the biggest in the entire world, launching a company of creations inspired by an exceptional heritage and the future, and we don't know what it is? How is this allowed? Why can't I raise money to launch a brand in this environment without giving away the shirt on my back? And yet these people, and I say this with love, can launch a $250,000 launch party in Paris? And they don't even say what the thing is. What is it?
Right?
Maybe. Yeah, oh, I guess it's 14. Well, they said I'm only like imagining that it's fragrance.
Oh.
But they don't even say the word fragrance in this caption.
I'm like, who do you think wrote it?
I think someone and I say this again with so much love in my heart, someone whose language is not first and foremost English, probably a French person. It sounds like or AI, but I would say like it sounds like someone who is trying to think of how to write fancy, you know, but like when you write, you learn certain things, like amazing doesn't mean anything, you know, you can't use amazing as an adjective because it doesn't tell the reader anything about it. It's, you know what I mean? Like extraordinary. Like what about like what? What are you trying to say? It's just so old school. When perfume is transcended, emotion is revealed. What? This is not the golden ticket for
Can you
Cody,
buy them? How
I'm
much
afraid.
Are they? And also, like, who's buying? No, the weird thing is, like, Cody has never really invested in brand, have they? Because, like, Cody is, like, the least sexy. Anybody, it's like.
I mean, just like knowing how much all of this shit costs, like the launch parties, the photo shoots, like all this stuff, and how probably the brands under Cody are like cash strapped, you know, and not able to like do crazy things. This is the picture that they paid for. What?
You say paid as if this, I think the problem is they didn't have a huge budget. That's how why everything looks the way it does.
There are certain things that are like that. There are hard costs involved in launching a brand. You know what I mean? Like
that photo does look like it was like mailed out to, I don't know, like husband and wife, like stylist photographer duo in Utah, where they'll shoot all your e-com photos for you for $500 flat rate fee.
I mean, what would be kind of genius is like on April 1st, this is revealed to it, number either have been an April Fool's joke or that they like come out in a couple weeks and they say that actually this entire brand was generated by AI and it was more of like a commentary on
that would be,
you know. That would be now we're cooking with gas.
Now we're talking. Love that.
And again, nothing but love for Cody, and we love that they sponsor this podcast, and we appreciate it.
I reach for my Cody perfume every day.
Okay, what else do we have? Oh. One of the articles I was reading, I think, I don't even remember where I was reading this, but it was talking about how like a lot of people, or no, maybe I was talking to a friend that was like Charlotte Tilbury kind of lost that millennial customer with its like insistence on this sort of like glamour, like outdated notion of glamour. And I think that's where Merit kind of was able to sneak in, is that it's more realistic. It's more approachable. It's less sparkly. It's less, you know, bronze goddess, because I think that idea was kind of fun for a minute. And then like you got to go to work. You know what I mean? That trend. Yeah.
It's like a little old school now to do the whole like halo, like glittery center of your eye with the warm brown smoky ring around it. And I mean, it's just, it's a little dated. What is going on with lip liner though? I sent you all those photos. I was spiraling the other night in a Thinspo hole, and there were all these paparazzi photos from Fashion Week. Oh,
that was what you wanted me to see, is that she's very thin.
We can't say who this person is. Please bleep it out, because I don't...
Okay, bleep it.
I hate to, like... Bleep it. I know body snarking is bad. I know it, but also, like, this is a commentary on, like, one of a huge influencer who is just...
Showing off her... I just said showing off. That's because I am the problem. I am the male gaze.
No, me too. I was
flaunting,
like,
flaunting her.
It was spider. And it wasn't like I feel like there are like naturally or unnaturally, I don't know. I don't need to know. It's not my place to know. But there are very thin women who are very famous, who are style icons that you know, will wear different proportions and like they look good and everything. This one person is always like, whatever outfit she wears, she's like, I am skin and bones and you must know this.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I also think it's the designers dressing her. I mean, she was dressed for an event and it was like, damn.
it took your breath away.
Oh. No breath could fit inside. I was like, I was like before, you know, when you put on jeans and you like squeeze out the last breath so you can zip them up. That's what I was doing. And I've been that, and my stomach is killing me. I actually have lost weight. Thank you for asking. Thank you for noticing. Did I tell you my problem? I was like, you know how they're like, oh, women can lift weights and not get bulky. Wrong. I was like,
really?
I think
wrong?
I'm just like very athletic. Don't hate me. But I also like don't have the height to pull off like a very like to pull off muscle. Like I need to be like whittled. And I think I was just, it was like my body fat percentage was going down, but my weight was going up. And I was like, I can't, like, you know,
I've had a horrible dream for a man.
I've had decades of eating disorders. So like, hopefully people understand that on the pod, and I'm not asking for sympathy, and please don't write me saying you're so sorry. Like I laugh about it, and I'm like,
so that you don't cry.
Shit. No, I never cry over it. I'm like, I think it's like a totally neurotic, weird thing. And like, I take more of a like cold, like intellectual approach to it. Like I'm too old for this shit. Why am I doing this? Like logically, I know this is like such a waste of everything, and like so bad for you, and your life would be so much better if you just like develop better habits, but you know what, we all got our thing. Anyway, tangent, why are we talking about this, Nick? We were supposed to talk about beauty news.
Okay.
Oh,
sorry.
You were scrolling through. We were talking,
our chat. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, which was more of a kind of truth and advertising type situation, was an Instagram story posted by L'Oreal Paris. We're really making friends with advertisers today. That was Eva Longoria with a toaster, a stovetop, you know, a countertop toaster, two pieces of bread, and she puts sunscreen on one of the pieces of bread, like as if it's butter. And then she doesn't put any sunscreen on the other. She puts them both in the toaster. Lo and behold, the piece of toast with sunscreen on it, after the, you know, the 60-second toaster cycle, is still blonde in color while the other piece of toast is toast. You know, the takeaway being, don't toast your skin, wear SPF. This doesn't feel totally kosher to me.
Well, I'm more like,
because like
I prefer the toast. Like, sorry. Raw bread.
Okay, well, that's
like,
number not one, really, but like also number two, it's like not heat that makes you tan. And heat is what, like, you know what
you're telling me that those aren't UV rays inside of our toasters?
I don't think so. And so I just think that it is phony, right?
It is weird. It's also just like, it goes back to all the, what is going on with all this like dated branding and advertising?
It's like literally like, it's also like a 1950s looking toaster oven too. It's like a funny thing. Here's to ditching toasted skin and embracing SPF every single day. So the comments are kind of funny. This is not a great analogy. Bread is not skin. Toasters don't emit UV rays. Wow, what a comparison. You guys are amazing. Skin equals bread, toaster equals UV rays. And then L'Oreal Paris replied with a heart. I don't think they knew that they were being sarcastic.
That's truly all you can do,
I guess. Oh god, amazing. Someone writes, and then L'Oreal Paris says heart. And then some Peruvian Jew says, wouldn't the moisture from the lotion prevent the burning, not the SPF? And then L'Oreal responds, Hey, Candace, SPF represents a sunscreen's ability to protect against a specific portion of ultraviolet light called UVB. UVB rays are responsible for sunburns and skin cancer, so the formula is made for optimum skin health and protection.
What?
This doesn't seem like something that like a public, like a L'Oreal could do.
You know what? People,
how did this get past legal?
I'm so scared about the written communication skills of the next generation. We're not teaching enough English and writing in school.
I know. Copywriting. Copywriting should be a course in elementary school. They should start teaching copywriting in elementary school. Because, like, guess what? Everyone is a brand. You know what I mean? That's they true. Should start yeah. teaching about being branding
a
yourself
brand.
In elementary
yeah.
a personal brand. So mm-hmm. even if you're just everything is copywriting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everything
not
is
a bad
copy.
Idea. I mean, you're gonna be online. I'm like, why do I have a LinkedIn? Like, can I delete this? You know? But then I'm like, then suddenly do I not exist to like a certain group of people?
You don't. But that might be good.
I don't have a Facebook. That happened in college. And my life
you
has
got
been,
rid of that?
I don't know if anything, I don't know that
well,
I missed
but
out
like,
on anything.
Instagram is Facebook. So like, it, as long as you're like on, no, but like, I just feel like that's where you get updates and like, you know what I mean? Like, as long as you're on that, you're not really missing. I think if you weren't on Instagram or Facebook, you would be like missing a lot of what's happening.
Yeah. And so I'm like addicted to Instagram. I don't know that I could. Also, like, just so I was thinking, like, why am I on Instagram so much? And it's like so many messages come through there from people.
Yeah.
You know, like, instead
also,
of texting,
here's my
like,
thing. It's not that serious. It's okay to be addicted to Instagram, better than being addicted to cocaine.
I sent you that story that Instagram's taking over, or Meta has grown like significantly and TikTok is declining.
Yeah. Well, I also saw, I saw a headline too that was talking about how Gen Z wants to get rid of TikTok shops. What's going on with TikTok? Is Gen Z turning
shopping on TikTok?
Is Gen Z turning against TikTok?
I tried, like, you talk about TikTok and I'm like, you know, this is an intelligent adult. Like, I'll occasionally go on and be like, all right, today's the day I'm going to get addicted. Like, get me, you know? And I went on the other day and it was all ads for like a ring light. It was like, get Alex Earl's ring light, get Alex Earl's ring light. And it was just scrolling through every single one. It was crazy. I don't know. I was like, how do I get out of this like side of TikTok? It's crazy. And it was all leading
Alex
to buy
Earl's
the
ring light. Alex Earl's ring light.
Yeah. And it was all to, and it all led to like an Instagram shop to like buy the ring light. Mm-hmm. And it was like $7. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, this like Temu, like, this is just terrible for like everyone. Everyone.
Alex Earl and ring light. No, I guess you're right. I mean, I just,
you know what I was cracking up about that is also very old school. Sorry, not to interrupt.
What? Tell me.
Tripping with Tarte. these big influencer brand trips
are still happening.
It's crazy. Somebody, this is actually a form, this is a formal request, and I need somebody to write in and volunteer their knowledge, possibly even be interviewed on the pod. We could disguise your voice and everything. I need somebody with intimate knowledge of an influencer trip. Like, have you worked at Revolve? Are you at an agency that does these things?
The anonymous confessions of an influencer coordinator.
Yeah, we need to understand the ROI. Well, I don't care about like the juicy, like.
But the whole thing is that there is no traceable. Like, the ROI is.
There has to be.
I think they use metrics like earned media value. I remember one time when I was consulting for Yahoo Style, I went on like Good Morning America for like, I was like the like gay fashion person being like, here's how to like get the look, or you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. And then after I did this 30-second segment that was so silly and dumb, Yahoo PR sent around a like summary of the play of the, I was gonna call it a sketch, whatever, of like the spot, and then like it was worth $10 million I think that's what, so they can like that, that's how they're looking at it.
I know, but I'm pretty sure, like, I know that that exists, but Revolve specifically, I think, popularized this whole idea of an influencer trip and really almost industrialized it
made it,
you know, like
industry,
they made it into like a and it was like multi-brand, because Revolve's multi-brand, like they just I, and they had like they had the biggest influencers too, like basically like celebs, you know, doing these trips. So I don't think it was just like they were getting a free trip. I think they were actually paying a lot of these people to be there too. So you would think, and I've heard like third person that they have like very like a really intense strategy for them, and like there is ROI, but I never really heard it explained in a way that I understand. There's a fly. I never really heard it in a way that like I was convinced that like I understand why they do this. So anyway, this is our formal call for
You want to understand sort of like how it works and how the brand justifies the spend.
Yeah. And I get there's things like, you know, if they gift, we used to get these gifts as editors. Like I remember getting like shoes all the time with like a face cream. Like, what size shoe do you wear? And I would get like Dolce & Gabbana, like pumps, like with a face cream, you know, it's like a bribe, you know, but like,
yeah,
back, but the PR companies would buy those. Now it's like, a brand or an influencer will reach out to like brands and be like, hey, I'm gifting my brand, or like I'm doing tripping with Tarte. Do you want to do the body care for the trip? Like I saw like there was a ton of like Sol de Janeiro on like saw a photo, and I'm like, okay, now tripping with Tarte is also multi-brand,
which gets to be smart. And the only thing I'll say about this is I feel like in media, like when we did media, you know, like Into the Gloss or Elle or XO Jane, your salary is so low. I think part of like what makes the job worth it, and like what you kind of like compute into how much, you know, income and your expenses, like the whole computation of how you live, is getting a certain amount of stuff for free. So like and maybe it's not the Dolce & Gabbana shoes, but like it's discounts, it's, you know, like dinners. It's dinners, it's all that shit. Because like, you know, when I worked at WWD, my salary was $30,000 a year. So, and WWD was unique in that like we couldn't take free things, but like that's if you're making 25 or 30 grand a year, which I guess now is probably like what, 60? I don't know, 55? I don't know what the starting salary is in media. But like you kind of like have to include that stuff, because I don't know otherwise how you make it work.
I know. I just got a pitch for like a free eye exam and glasses. I was like, I could use that. I was like trying to find out if they were cute or not. But my problem is I'm just not a social person. I have terrible social anxiety. I do bad with people. So I just...
Are you sure?
I hate going to events. Well, why? Explain to me why. Not that I think hate's a strong word and it implies that like there's something wrong with the event. I'm saying there's something wrong with me where like, and I get it. Like people will complain about going to like press events all the time. But I'm talking about like any event. It's a lot for me. And I wish I was more like in it, but I just don't have the
energy. In what?
You know, like the...
In the scene?
I'm like, I got when I first started, I mean, the first half of my career was a lot of like running around to like different events and parties and like getting invited places and stuff like that. And one, people aren't doing that as
you
much
miss
anymore.
It.
But two, no, I don't miss it.
You want to go tripping with Tart.
I do want to go. That's kind of what I was just trying to imply. I've been working on my body. I've been upping my engagement. I've been posting a little bit more. Okay. And I just feel like I'm ready.
So, Tart, are you listening?
I mean, it's too late this week.
That was a little pause for Tart to answer.
Yes. Who buys Tart? Where do you buy a Tart anymore? Is it at Sephora still?
I don't know. Is Tart Hoola bronzer?
I don't even know.
That's Benefit.
I thought that was
That's
Benefit.
What's the big Tart? Something with tape, right? Like a concealer?
Oh, they do shape tape. Oh.
And is Tarte also okay. Maracuja? Like they would have all the maracuja oil and things? I think that was Tarte.
Damn. Who's wearing Tarte?
It's such a funny name. It's like all these brands that are still kicking. Urban Decay. Tarte.
Urban Decay has good products.
Remember like Buxom Beauty? Like it was all very Dita Von Teese, you know, like nipple tassel vibes.
Yeah. Rockabilly.
Love them.
Wow.
Should we do a little bit of, you know what, products of the week? My product of the week was actually your product of the week 2 years ago. So that's how this trend cycle works, is that you find something 2 years ago and then 2 years later I discover it. I'm actually wearing them on my face. My product of the week are the Jacques Marie Maje sunglasses. The style is Godard, and you know, and I think I've talked about this before, but there was a moment where I was like, you know, Warby Parker is the answer. Like there's no reason why like all glasses are the same, they're all created equal, why not just buy them for $90?
Was this when you were the face of Warby Parker?
This might have had to do with, yeah,
got it. And they let you design your own glasses?
Yes. An engagement that I had with Warby Parker. However, what I've realized in my elderly years is that not all glasses are made equal.
No, they are certainly not.
They're not. And as much as you want them to be, and yes, they might all be acetate. They might, you know what I mean? But two things can be made out of cotton and be radically different. Do you know what I mean?
Radically.
Radically. And so I was looking for a pair. I wanted to look like a, you know, like, I wanted to look
like Elvis Costello.
I wanted to look like an Elvis Costello kind of thing with like a lightly shaded eyeglass, you know, like lens. And I go into the Jacques Marie Maje store, which is just like an incredible store. You know, like there's a bodyguard at the front for some unknown
reason. Is this in Korea?
No. This was before I went to Korea. This is in Los Angeles. And there's an optometrist or an optician, a 50-year-old guy, gray hair, a bolo tie. And he's like exactly who I want to get eyeglass advice from. Do you know what I mean? Like, and he basically styled me in his image. And I bought these glasses and I love them. I'm all about like a light lens that you can kind of wear when it's a little bit cloudy out, because I always find that I was going so dark that I could only wear them if it was like bright, bright, bright sun. But then you're like in a tunnel for a minute and you like can't see. So guess what? Mm-hmm. Go lighter than you think you need to go.
And good point.
The experience, and I know you also talked about this 2 years ago, but the experience in the Jacques Marie Mage store, like the boxes, the pack, like the packaging, the it's all scented. Like they spray it with, I think, Bibliotheque by Byredo, I think.
Oh, I mean, I got mine from
It's a masterclass in packaging, and it's a masterclass in brand experience where, yeah, we are the most expensive sunglass on the market. But we're going to make the value perception will be achieved through this like experience you have as you're greeted, as you're purchasing, as you're given a espresso while you wait, and it's on like a vintage, you know, turquoise studded silver plaid, you know, like it's like there's just as, and then you get the, and you're told that the, I mean, the thing I don't understand is where you're told that like your glasses are like 50 of 500 pairs. Like, I'm like, this is an addition. I'm like, but this is not a one and done frame. But I guess every addition is slightly different. I think there's some stuff that's a little, you know, eye roll, like where mm-hmm. it's like, oh, you're getting like an additioned pair of glasses. But I just do think that it's a nice experience and I like the consistency and I applaud it, you know. And when I was in Korea, I was in a Chrome Heart store and I was like, there's another brand, whether you like it or you don't, you can't deny that there's like a consistent brand experience.
I like their glasses too.
Yeah, those are probably more expensive than Jacques Marie Mage.
There's a store in Dallas called Black's Optical that has glasses I've like the types I've never seen. It's crazy. They have like and they're not vintage or anything. They're like modern brands, but like the legs are like are piped in leather, like, but very small. Like they're not like ostentatious. They're just very detailed and like made of materials that are just like, this is insane.
What is it?
Well, they carry different brands, but the shop is called Black's Optical.
Oh. So it's like Japanese.
It's
brands
all like crazy. Yeah, it's all like crazy design. Well, they have like Chrome Hearts and Jacques Marie Mage and like Valentino and Loewe and stuff like that. But then they have these like glasses. These like, yeah, I think they're Japanese brands that are just like, what the fuck? Yeah, I went in there the other day and I tried to buy glasses. I don't look good in glasses, unfortunately. It sucks.
Didn't you buy a pair of Jacques Marie Mage glasses though? When they were on Succession?
No, I bought them before they were on Succession. Thank you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I wanted prescription sunglasses and they had them at Anthony Aiden. That's where I used to go in East Village. And I was like, ooh, I like these frames. Of course, they were like the most expensive in the store, but I think I was making money at the time. So. Like, yeah. And then
What's your product of the week? Enough about me and glasses.
Well, I was gonna tell you, I don't wear them anymore because I got prescription lenses put in these fucking sunglasses, and then they used like an ugly purple colored lens, and now I'm just like, I don't know what to do.
It's easy to change the lens. That's
I know, and
fix.
I did it the other day and it didn't. It's just one of those things that you just waste all this. It's like a money pit. I'm like, why are these glasses suddenly a money pit for me? Like, fuck them. I hate them. Okay, what is my product of the week? Have I talked about that Clarins face mask?
No.
Okay. That's my product of the week. It's a Clarins, I think it's called the Cryo Flash face mask. And it is the perfect mask to use before you put on makeup. So if you're like getting ready for an event or like want your skin to look really good, you know, under your
makeup.
It's a cream mask. Yep. It's not a sheet mask. And you keep it in the fridge. You don't have to, but I do because, again, I'm using it for skin prep. So it like calms, if it's a cooling mask, will like help calm redness, puffiness, whatever. And it also has a little bit of menthol, so it really wakes up your skin. I love a sensory, like, menthol bullshit. It really, I don't know. It's something about, like, you know, where you're talking about how Botox, like, makes you feel, like, happier because your face is lifted back. And there's something about that, like, sensation of feeling the menthol that I don't know if, like, maybe it kind of subliminally makes me, like, pull my muscles back and open my eyes more. Yeah, but it does have, like, a positive effect. So, and then it, like, leaves your skin really moisturized, and I only need to use, like, a light serum afterwards. I don't like to put on, like, a layer of moisturizer before makeup all the time. But,
and here's something interesting, that this mask, if you put it in the fridge, it is proven to lower your skin's temperature by 7 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's not just in your head.
Right? Yeah, it's giving toast and it's giving toast and sunscreen.
It's like, how do you butter your bread?
If you put anything cold on your face, it's going to lower the temperature. Just saying.
That's true. But no, but what the Clarins website is saying is they're comparing it to the use of, like, those cryo face tools. And they're saying that this actually works better.
Oh, it's great. It's really, really nice. And you just have, and you can just, like, wipe it off with, like, a damp, you know what I've been doing? I'm going to go to hell for this. But my skin was so bad for so long. If we remember my hormonal acne thing. So I was like, okay, I'm going to consider this a medical device because I need to get rid of this acne. So I bought a roll of single use, like, facial towels.
Oh, because like reusing towels, like, spreads
bacteria and just, like, and whatever. I've developed allergies over time too, and so I can't use anything on my clothes. I just, like, it'll make me break out, and my towels, like, I can't do my own laundry. I have to, like, drop it off somewhere. So it's like, I was just trying to be like, let me go to, what's it called? Like, a restrictive diet, or when you just, like, cut everything out to see, like, what you're allergic to. Does that
cause? Oh, yeah. It's like a food sensitivity test.
Anyway, so I was just, like, going to complete zero. Let me not use anything on my skin. Let me use these, like, single-use towels that I got from, like, the Korean beauty supply here. And they're fucking good. They're so good. And you can reuse them. Like, I'll rinse them off if I didn't use it for anything crazy, like taking off a mask. Like, if I just used it to, like, dry my skin, I'll, like, rinse it out and, like, hang it, like, use it the next day. But it really helps, I think. My skin is, like, so clear now.
Your skin does look amazingly radiant. And with that, I will say that it's time to conclude today.
Nick has a copter to catch.
I have a copter to catch. I gotta go fly out of this town.
Oh, we have to remind everyone to sign up for our Patreon. Also, thank you to everybody who, like, signed up last week after I begged for money because we had to pay it.
Yes, and but continue to sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/iwouldjustbeauty. I'll do, you know what we'll do on the bonus app? Well, I can do my Korean beauty haul.
Perfect. I love that.
And we will see you next week. We are produced by Jonathan Corman, a friend of the pod, and we are edited by AJ Mosley. And we are on Instagram at iWitnessBeauty. We are at Annie at iWitnessBeauty.com, Nick at iWitnessBeauty.com. We'll do a Q&A episode too soon. So start submitting some questions and we will compile them and get back to you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.